I mean, I went to magic camp. And David Blaine and Chris Angel were the counselors.
It's like, you are not being molested.
Me too allegations. It's unbelievable he got away with that.
Yeah.
Best trick yet. Yeah.
Just want to take one of those mics and just run it up and under your shirt.
Yeah, yeah, this one?
Yeah, perfect, man.
Thank you.
Grab a Celsius, please.
Wow.
Really get going.
These kind of mics, interesting.
Yeah. So there's two schools of thought. There's you guys and the Adam Friedland Show.
Yeah.
And we went with the Adam Friedland Show.
That's cool. I never thought.
You're listening to the free version of Clout Farm. For the full episode, sub the Patreon geezer.
That's fine. Whatever.
Oh, collar with a jacket I might do.
Wait, dude, who the fuck was willing to carpet so we have for your podcast?
Just us.
Oh, right.
Well, because Curtis was like, dude, we got a solo. We got to talk about aggro drift tonight. And because we saw it two nights ago, and we just like had a lot of thoughts. And he was like, oh, I'm seeing Civil War tonight. And I was like, at what time? And he was like, 10. And I was like, dude, you're going to get out at like midnight. Yeah. I was like, I'm fucking tired. And I was like, we're not going to start until 2. He pulls up to the office at 1:45. We let leave at 5:30. I was just like, you fucking asshole.
Damn,
all right, yeah, let's do it.
Ew.
Are we going for 3 hours? Or going Rogan hours?
I think we're going. We'll go for 2 and a bit, and then we go ahead to Mansions. Yeah.
I respect the length.
Yeah. People love it, man.
Podcast 3. People love it. Let it be known. Podcast 3 one day.
We've done
podcast
5 three? In 48 hours.
What do you mean?
This is the third podcast we've done today.
That's crazy. And they were all 3 hours?
Nah. two hours, and then this will be 2. We did 2 yesterday. It's 5 in 48 hours. We're like...
It's unbelievable.
We're banking the apps, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you guys.
We just have so many thoughts. We just have an abundance of thoughts.
Do you?
Yeah,
I'm excited.
It's crazy. I'm thinking.
I'm an empty vessel.
Okay.
I'm thinking shit right now.
We're here to radicalize you.
Yeah, radicalize me. Pill me on podcasting.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it.
Get me brackage.
Give me brackage. The Doritos bags look mad different now.
Yo, you've heard our shit.
Yeah.
Joe Schmo did the fucking food.
Oh, there. Damn. Okay, here we go.
Damn.
Any of you want to contribute, Curtis?
What'd you say?
Any of you want to contribute?
Yeah, Curtis, what do you want to do?
Oh, fuck Curtis. Sorry, it's JJ, isn't it?
How's the life going, man?
How's the life going? Oh, so I'm pretending I'm Curtis?
Yeah. In lieu of him being here.
KJ's always late, right?
Just touring is so tough. It's the music industry is so fucked.
Wait, do his voice.
I am.
Do his voice, but a girl.
No, I think I'd rather be myself and like just talk about Curtis without him in the room because I don't get to do it that often.
Yeah.
Go off, King.
We were saying before we started that you know that like Chad voice test. Do you know what your Hertz is?
Mine's like deep in the Chad region. It's good. Yeah. Well, when we were pitching our voices down, it like people thought it was like so overkill because my voice is already so fucked. When my voice dropped when I was younger, I like had a panic attack because I used to have like a really high like choir boy, sort of almost like falsetto-esque voice. And when this erupted, I was like, oh! I just woke up one morning and it sounded like this. I was like 13 or something, and I was like, I'm disgusting now. I hated it.
For real?
But now it's the only thing that makes me any money. So yeah,
you're just asking for baby stuff in an adult's voice.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted my milk. Mom, bring in the milk.
Do you fuck with traditional American confections?
Such like, as Twinkies and Ding Dongs.
So we're from Philly, and we have crimplets.
That's Philly of Delphia fame.
Yeah, Philly of Delphia fame.
Say less.
Have you ever had a Tasty Cake?
What's that?
Tasty Cake is the brand, but they make these thing called crimpets. It's like, I mean, it's kind of a very British sort of treat. It's just like essentially like white cake with butterscotch on it.
That's really, I mean, it's good. One vowel off of crumpets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crumpet. I think they're basically the same thing.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a fan of America. I'm a big donut guy. I travel across the country and tried it almost every, I tried a donut in every state.
Yeah. And so you eat them orally.
I eat them orally. Yeah. Is there another way?
I don't know how you guys, I'm traveling. I'm trying to learn your ways.
What have you guys been eating?
Listen, I had Funyuns for the first time ever last night.
Funyuns.
Mm-hmm.
You like them?
Not particularly.
I don't like them. I'm not a chip guy. We talked about chips on our podcast last night.
Recount. Burn it on ours.
Yeah, Curtis. I mean, Curtis is like going in about this like hot cheddar ruffle that he's into. And chips make me feel disgusting. We went to Canada recently, and there's some like sort of ketchup chip that he's obsessed with there that I couldn't relate to him long.
So that he sounds fucking gross.
He has a peasant's palate.
He does. I hesitate to say that on video, but he
wait,
does.
Wait, are you still being Curtis, or are you KJ?
No, I'm fully KJ.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the only thing I know how to be.
I think the problem with crisps is they stay on you for too long. Yeah. And they're so greasy, whereas a little sweet treat...
I can't do the hands and all the dust, and it's disgusting. I have OCD. Yeah. We both have OCD.
Right, okay.
You'll see. He'll come in dressed. We'll probably be dressed exactly the same.
Right, okay.
Have done the same things to our clothes and prepared to be around people in the same way. In a really disgusting sort of metrosexual 2005.
Oh. It's crazy. You're the second person we've talked to, we've podcasted with today who's... reference metrosexuals.
Really?
And I feel like it's gradually kind of...
It's coming back.
Yeah.
Well, it was more on a Turkish stank in the previous...
Turkish dad vibes.
Yeah,
It was on a Turkish stank. but I feel like I've been seeing it referenced in la cultura a little bit more widely.
It was a big thing when I was growing up. It was like... Because I like wore girls' pants and shit, and my mom would always introduce me. I was like, my son is Metro. I mean, I hated it growing up, but now I'm like, I'm identifying as I'm a metrosexual.
That's cool.
That's a good way of beating the dude allegations as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think so.
Were you rocking the same swag?
Yeah, I've not changed at all.
Nice.
I've experimented with baggier jeans, but it never feels right.
Yeah.
It never works. But for my friends who've known me the longest are like, what are you doing today? And I'm like, I don't know. I have these balloon pants on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we still got
with the Chelsea heels?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. No, no, I'll try. I don't know. Yeah, you got to switch up to like a trainer or something. You have to wear a sneaker or a boot or a Timberland. Just never like.
Yeah. I've never heard an American say a trainer.
I did that for you.
You're pandering.
A jumper. Yeah. Yeah. The trainers and the jumpers.
How did you resist the peer pressure not to go baggied and streetwear in the mid-10s?
I think, I mean, that's like a big thing we were roasting on the pod for a long time. It's just like people in New York, like all these like rich kids wearing like Carhartt and like fucking like homeless clothes and shit. And it's just like, it was just like the most cringe. Like the Safdie era of filmmaking and like fuckboy culture in New York, just that's like, because we spent our 20s being like absolute complete losers, total outsiders, orbiters, like horrible pieces of shit that everybody hated and called transplants.
And stinky.
Stink. Yeah. No, we never stank. we always had good sense and shit. But yeah, I don't know. Just I think we never felt included in that crowd of people. So like the easiest thing to take shots at was like, you guys like grew up in Tribeca and like wear like construction worker clothes. Like it was just like the most annoying possible. So it was easy to not wear baggy shit for a while.
They're like walking around with bindles.
Yeah.
Bindle.
But like from 2014 to like honestly all the way up to 2020, like us essentially just like wearing leather jackets, skinny jeans and shit was just like, we were like gay. Like it was just like, oh yeah, those are like gay guys who suck. Like that was just like how we were perceived.
Yeah. And suck then, like, call?
Just like suck. Just like we're gay
okay,
and are not cool. which was just ironic. Then Indie Sleaze comes back and it's like, I mean, like we met the Help guys and we were like, wow, they're like doing it like 10 times harder than us. But like in a way that felt like a museum piece. And it's like, we don't quite look like this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe this is what everyone sort of, they put us in the category of these clown men. I was like, are we clown men? Like Noah and Chandler. I love them both dearly.
That's a pretty good pod title. Are We Clown Men?
Yeah. Are We Clown Men or Are We Dancer? Yeah.
Wait, but you were putting up to your ambient DJ sets.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you guys were mentioning that you guys did a Bossa Nova Civa Club thing, which I mean, I would do happy hours for like four people, and I would pull up with like a giant case of ambient vinyl that like I really care about.
When you said that, I was like, what kind of beer is that?
I mean, I have like a giant collection. I made ambient music for a very long time and just released for like six people in Norway. You know what I mean? There's like 12 people that give a shit about it that I've never met.
Norwegians are so fucking stupid.
Actually, it's like Luxembourg. Luxembourg was kind of the demographic.
Luxembourgians are so fucking stupid.
Yeah. I went once and it was really... It was beautiful, but I was like, what is this place? Like,
really? Was it actually?
It was. I thought it was. I mean, maybe it was because I was...
I genuinely don't know.
I thought this was some like weird like Dutch rivalry.
I have no real sense of what Luxembourg is like other than that it's like a sterile kind of banker's paradise.
I thought it was a tax haven. It is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's why they're like ambient music.
Yeah.
I mean, fully earnestly, the guy... So I was obsessed with this label called Own Records, which was like a Luxembourg... You know, I don't know if you've heard...
Wait, OHM?
OWN, like Own, like my own records. But I was obsessed with that label. They were releasing this artist called Willamette. This artist Willamette was just like my favorite ambient records. And they had sort of stopped being a label, but like I sent my first track to them. And they were like, if you make a whole record, this will be our final record we ever release. And I was like, oh, I was like 24 and I was like, that would be so fire. So I made a whole record. And I think maybe I was just like charmed with the lifestyle there, and I was like, there's this guy who like makes these like super expensive vinyls in this like weird rich country, and I met his baby, and like his whole he worked for the culture, like the Ministry of Culture or something, and I was like, his whole life is like programming the opera house, and like the government's paying him to program arts, and it was just like all stuff that was so foreign to me as someone who like grew up in Philly. It was just like, I think I was just very charmed with like their value system there. And I mean, maybe I'd feel differently if I went back now, but...
What was the ambient moniker?
Just KJ.
Just KJ?
Yeah. I was going Prince mode. I was just like, I'm
ungooglable.
You can find it. I could send it to you. Actually, my record with them, like my license already expired, so it's just on my Bandcamp now. But
nice.
I released on this like Russian label called Dronarium. This Wisconsin label called Lost Tribe Sound, just like weird, super niche. I always like looked for labels that like made good physical products, because I was like obsessed with nice, expensive physical ambient shit. But yeah, Bossa Nova Civa Club, that was the early days.
Can you give us like a little like a cappella rendition of an ambient song of yours?
It's like... yeah, that's it.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was my first single.
That's the hit.
Yeah.
It was the hit, honestly. It was called Blue. It was a hit. My friends liked it. Well, I was actually just making, just ambient loops because like I lived in the West Village and I lived above this like super busy bar, and like I'm naturally nocturnal and I'd be up until 5 a.m. every night. But it got to a point where, like, if I had to fall asleep at like 1, I like couldn't because it was unbelievably loud in my apartment. So I was like, you know, I was into Baczynski and all the bullshit.
Baczynski, yeah.
I'm giving you titles here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like, I was interested in like loop-based sort of like trancey ambient stuff. And I just started trying to make them for myself to fall asleep to. And then I played them for friends. And they were like, this is actually kind of fire. So that was the beginning of that. The only reason I was making music solo, though, is because Curtis and I were in a band in high school, which he will refuse to speak about.
Really?
Because he doesn't want anybody to know about it.
What, because they're better than The Life?
They are not better than The Life. It was certainly not better than The Life.
What was the vibe?
It had a little bit of success. It was like, you know, Girl Talk?
Uh-huh.
Remember the old mashup artist?
Yeah.
It was sort of like a polyphonic spree version of Girl Talk.
Damn.
We had 16 members. Curtis and I met because of that band. yeah, maybe I won't talk about that anymore, but we met in that band and we all like we broke up and then just started making music all separately. But my version of that was making like super boring wallpaper ambient music.
You're listening to the free version of Clout Farm. For the full episode, sub the Patreon geezer.
I don't understand how Polyphonic Spree X Girl Talk works in practice.
Just like imagine if like instead of like actually sampling, you're like actually like composing the music, like making mashups by like composing it and writing sheet music for 16 people, like a fucking string section, a choir, like three guitarists, a bass player, multiple vocalists. It was retarded.
Sounds really stupid. Yeah,
yeah. It was quite bad. I mean, like we started when I was like 16, so it was like, you know, it was. I'm glad I was doing something.
Yeah, I mean, that's like it has like the. It has like a childlike naivete to it. That's like, that's a stumble you have to make.
It had a gayness.
A certain gayness.
Yeah.
Like gayness being the like, you don't remember what je ne sais quoi is? Like
yeah. Yeah, it was embarrassing for sure. But it also like, I don't know, it taught me a lot about just like collaborating with people and I don't know, just like the main thing I've taken away from like being creatively collaborative with people is just like learning to deal with different personalities. Mm. Like making art is one thing, but like dealing with like how insane creative people are is like the ultimate challenge. For example, Curtis being an hour late, right?
Yeah, but is he truly creative?
Curtis?
Yeah.
Is he truly creative?
Let's be real.
He is. I have to give
him
that one.
Like, is he truly creative?
He is. No, I mean, I like, there he is. Being
the devil. Dude, that was creative ass timing. Yeah.
That was cool. Fuck. I can't wait to see him again.
Wait, so is that the band that you guys recorded at the DFA studios?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. Did we talk about that?
I think I've heard you guys talk about it before.
Yeah. We recorded. So LCD had just broken up and DFA sort of opened as a studio that you could actually
record in. With James Murphy?
James was kind of sauntering around the studio. He didn't actually engineer it. Matt Thornley, who was the guitarist of LCD. Do you know him?
No. I know. I'm a huge LCD fan. Yeah.
We were too. But yeah, Matt engineered. And I mean, yeah, they just had like a plethora of like incredible old synths and really cool shit. We broke up like a week after recording in there.
Really?
So it was like the sort of the pinnacle of like, oh, we're making it. Like we're recording in a cool studio. And then just like actually, I fucking hate you, and like I'm moving to Korea.
Is this what happened with the band leader?
Yeah, yeah.
what's that person up to now?
He's still in Korea.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
He was my best friend too.
Oh, dude. People let you down.
I know.
And moved to Korea.
It's rough.
Hey, man. Nice to meet you.
Curtis.
This is KJ.
Yeah, that's KJ.
They did the thing that I've done before. They're like, we're gonna start recording. I was like, that's fire.
You want a drink?
Sure, where you at?
The beer or Celsius.
They have Celsius.
I'll stay here.
Whoa. Big drinker.
I can't do Celsius anymore. It fucks my stomach up.
This is my third of the day.
Really?
Yep.
Yo, you just clip that to any part of your clothing. If you wanna like run it under your t-shirt.
Yeah, I'll do
it. It's interesting that they're using these kinds of mics.
Well, I guess it's on camera, yeah.
We basically had like four of the worst quality mics in the world with socks over them. And then Rob was like, oh, Adam Friedland uses clip mics. I was like, fucking run it.
Yeah. It's like Patreon money. Yeah, well, we finally got some Patreon money. So we bought some new gear, which is nice.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
So James Murphy was kind of like chimping about in the background of your recording
session. We're talking about the DFA session.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Yeah, there we go. Blast from the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just sort of sauntering around. We didn't have any real interaction, but just like even the ghost of James being there was sort of a nice omen, even though it ended really horribly. that was a fun experience. Yeah, of course. The music that we made in those sessions is probably some of the worst music ever made.
Definitely.
Truly some of the most abhorrently bad music.
Is it like Jacob Collier vibes?
What'd you say?
Jacob Collier vibes?
Who is that?
Oh, I know who that is.
Yeah. David, can you explain it? I feel like you'll do a better job than me.
He's like someone who's not into music whatsoever. It's their idea of what a musical genius is.
He's
more like a music teacher on Instagram who somehow actually got a fan base as a musician. But I find he's aggressively sincere.
I find his earnestness in the most annoying way.
Fucking overpowering. Yeah.
No, he's 25.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's allowed to be a little earnest.
But he also, not in the way that he does it, but he does this thing where he has this kind of, affected eccentricity, with the spiky hair or whatever, that I find, deeply, deeply, deeply grating. Wait, who brought him up?
I did, because you were talking about, a 16-piece band that kind of... I think it's the same as what we were talking to Anna about, where... this is what happens to conservatoire musicians. Yeah, right. None of them make interesting music. Yeah. They make, like you say, stuff for people who don't know about music to think you're a musical
conservatoire
genius.
Musicians.
Yeah.
I can't even think of who...
Should see what happens to conservative musicians.
Bam! We've got one right here.
No comment. I showed them the Barataglia Trump meme.
I'm really proud of it.
It's really good.
Yeah, there's no, what was, I guess Dirty Projectors were a...
Love DP.
They were a educated...
DP, yeah.
Band, but didn't he drop out or something? It was that was kind of part of it.
Of the conservatory?
Yeah, only good musicians were dropouts.
I mean, I was talking about that with somebody the other day, just the era of white guy musician bands. So much of their press release was about what college they were coming from, what fucking Ivy League university was putting their stamp on the band.
It's the complete opposite now. I have thoughts.
I know, but I'm saying that's such a time warp. That used to be important. So, they're actually from Columbia, and that makes it art music.
Yeah.
Because they're from school.
Are you talking about Vampire Weekend?
Vampire Weekend.
Yeah.
You fucking the new album?
I'm giving it a shot.
I got to give it another shot. I made it through a couple songs and then I got bored. But
Mary Boone.
Everyone loves it. It must be good. It just didn't hit for me.
That Mary Boone song.
That's a great tune.
It's really good. Everyone kept telling me to listen to that one, and I was like, "Yeah, this is fire."
Yeah, lots of popular stuff right now. I keep thinking is bad, and then I revisit it months
McG.
later. If you listen to that guy.
Yeah.
For some reason, that didn't hit for me at all at first, and now I love it.
What are you guys listening to?
Oh, you heard the song Despacito?
Yeah, that's good.
I'm kind of revisiting a classic.
Yeah, that's
going
a good
back
one.
To my roots.
I fuck with it.
My formative era.
Yeah.
Are you guys fucking with Stillhouse Plants?
Oh, that's
I don't know.
Scottish band.
Yeah, they used to play with Barataglia sometimes.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
They play that album.
I believe it.
Oh shit, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's I'm playing at Avalon. Is Avalon cool?
Wait, you're playing Avalon?
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah, great venue, man.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Wait, when's that?
May 15th.
Just the life?
Yeah. Nice. I don't know who else is on it yet.
Do you know who the Soho Boys are?
The Soho Boys?
They're a Barataglia parody band in New York who my band is playing with on Saturday and will be in London around that time.
Barataglia parody band?
Yeah.
Did they play Barataglia song?
No, but basically they're kind of, my band are like an American band in London and they're like a London band in New York.
People right think it's funny, but I'm not laughing. Don't you understand?
You're listening to the free version of Clout Farm. For the full episode, sub the Patreon geezer.
And I don't want to believe
we've been having a Silver Sun pickup.
I love Silver Sun.
I love Silver Sun.
I think the problem with a lot of that stuff is it's becoming really post Barataglia, the kind of disaffected, low production quality